WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago, where research meets real-world impact. The master's program in social work blends classroom learning with extensive field education guided by faculty known for groundbreaking research. Applications are open at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future.
President-elect Donald Trump's so-called border czar says he plans to start mass deportations right here in Chicago.
If your Chicago mayor doesn't want to help, he can step aside. But if he impedes us, if he knowingly harbors and conceals an illegal alien, I will prosecute him.
That's Tom Homan speaking to a group of local Republicans this week. And in the same vein, he told Mayor Brandon Johnson and other Democrats to, quote, get the hell out of the way. So what could that mean for undocumented immigrants and the greater Chicago community? I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. To discuss that question, we checked in with Mark Fleming, Associate Director of Litigation at the National Immigrant Justice Center, Shanat Sobrevia with Organized Communities Against Deportations, and Chicago's Deputy Mayor for Immigrant, Migrant, and Refugee Rights, Beatrice Ponce de Leon. And I started by asking Mark to weigh in on what he thinks Tom Homan's role will be as Trump's so-called border czar.
I think what he is taking as his own mandate is to head up what they've described as a mass deportation effort in the interior of the United States. So while he has the title, apparently, of border czar, which is not an official role within any administration, it seems as if he is morphing that mission into something much larger, which is a mass deportation effort from the interior of the U.S., where we're talking about large populations of people who have been here for decades.
Mm-hmm. Shanat, Trump has pledged to, quote, launch the largest deportation program of criminals in the history of America. What is your reaction to hearing Tom Homan then say that he wants it to start here in Chicago?
Well, I'm undocumented myself. I'm part of a group that's undocumented and has been organizing for years, even since Obama was our president.
Mm-hmm.
For us, it's just men wanting to use their power and instigate harm and pain on others. We know that throughout the years of having to organize, it means making sure that we are working within our communities and protecting each other, observing our rights, and really being visible and vocal about them.
Mm-hmm. Mark, Homan's been quite clear about his plan to get what he calls criminals out of the U.S. Who is considered a criminal? That's the question here.
Well, in his mind, it's all 11 million undocumented immigrants. And that is the big disconnect here. It didn't start with Tom Homan.
Yeah.
It is always the enforcement effort is described as going after criminal undocumented immigrants. The reality is for decades now, that is a very tiny percentage of the people that have ever been deported from the United States.
Right. Many studies have also shown that immigrants are less likely to commit crimes than U.S.-born citizens.
And so it's a red herring. What he is describing is a mass deportation of families, of longstanding residents, people who are part of the fabric of Chicago, part of the fabric of the United States, who contribute in so many ways, including economically to the U.S., that he is dubbing, as the borders are, as criminal, and using that as pretext for a whole other different agenda.
Yeah. Shanat, Alderman Ray Lopez of the 15th Ward, which covers back of the yards, he was in attendance of that meeting on Monday, and he put out a tweet, and it said, great meeting, incoming border czar Tom Homan. We must enforce the laws, starting with removing those committing dangerous, violent crimes with impunity because they have asylum protections. What does that make you think of?
I mean, I'm not surprised that he was there, and those are also his acceptance and appreciation of. We've seen him use the word criminal and minimize people in his own ward as valuable, as dignified humans. It just means that they're going to ever use this expansion of who's disposable and seeking that for their own gains and narratives of power.
Deputy Mayor, let's bring you in here. I want to hear from you. Why do you think he's targeting Chicago? I mean, there are other sanctuary cities in this country.
Well, I think Chicago has been a sanctuary city, you know, since Harold Washington began that effort. And we've been a place where our communities have organized in support of immigrants and refugees. And under this progressive administration, we've been very vocal about standing firm in our support of the Welcoming City Ordinance, and also really to keep all our Chicagoans safe. We've been doing incredible work in promoting community safety. With my new Office of Immigrant, Migrant, and Refugee Rights, we've been able to steward and a new arrivals mission that was very successful in helping to resettle in partnership with the state and the county. And, you know, I believe that Chicago is seen as a place where we stand up for human rights and civil rights, and perhaps that makes us a more attractive target at this time.
What protections do we have here in Chicago, Mark, and in Illinois against deportations?
There's a variety of them that have been built up over the last decade. I think the most critical ones is multiple ways in which local law enforcement or state law enforcement are not to be participating in civil immigration. So that means if someone's in their custody, you know, after a traffic stop because they didn't have a license or a broken taillight, that when ICE seeks requests that they hold them for ICE, that they're not allowed to do that. That if they come into the community, that they're not to be providing information of identifying where an individual's address is, or providing traffic perimeters or any other sort of aid to help facilitate the scope and the efficiency of the immigration enforcement effort. Now, it's very important to emphasize that, you know, both the state law and the local ordinance does not prevent ICE from doing whatever enforcement they are going to do. But what it does do is it deprives the border czar, Tom Homan, from the force multiplier of local and state law enforcement to help and assist in it. And I think it's important to emphasize that ICE on a national level has 20,000 ICE agents.
Yeah, that's
there
a lot.
Are 1 million state and local law enforcement in the United States. Mm. And so by not having that added manpower, it helps to limit the scope of which that enforcement can happen in Chicago and in the state.
Can Homan circumvent the legal protections that are in place?
You mean here in the state of Illinois?
Yeah.
No, absolutely not. Because it is his decision, and this is something he fundamentally does not want to understand, which is every state is its own sovereign to decide to what extent state and local law enforcement may participate in civil immigration. And it's a solid foundational component of our structure of government that the federal government cannot force state and local law enforcement to do the enforcement of federal law, whether it's immigration or, in the context of a case that came in the 1990s, gun control. So there is a long-standing precedent here that the federal government cannot force state and local law enforcement to do their enforcement.
So, Shanat, what has been successful in fighting deportations in the past?
It has been a community that are undocumented and allies coming together and supporting each other. I mean, we have experienced Tom Homan in 2018 in Illinois.
Yes.
And through those networks of individuals, making sure that we're witnessing and taking record of what actions happen through ICE, that we filed a lawsuit for the actions done. I think it was a series of weeks where we saw blatant violations of people's rights and being targeted.
This is while he was the former acting head of ICE during Trump's first term.
Documented racial profiling and taking people as collateral. And so we do see how organizing and maintaining in communication and supporting each other when we're being targeted has been key in also protecting and making sure that those that feel the most vulnerable have a sense of strength to protect their rights.
What's the role of civil disobedience in making a difference, you think?
Yeah, I mean, I come from organizing in 2010, 2009, where civil disobedience was a tactic that we used often. And it is the reason we have DACA, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. Mm-hmm. It has been a tool to create visibility and also a sense of strength within us as community and solidarity across issues. So I think it's key.
So Deputy Mayor, what will your office do to protect undocumented immigrants here in Chicago?
Well, we are joining forces with other organizations in terms of spreading the information that people need to know. So Know Your Rights workshops, how to be prepared in the case of raids, where to get legal services. We want our communities to understand where they can turn to for assistance and also to know what their rights are. We also want to educate the general public about our Welcoming City Ordinance and what that calls for. And internally, we're working with all departments to make sure that we have a plan for how to support and protect folks if needed. I want to say that Chicago is one of our largest employers in the city. And so in addition to being responsible for the care of our residents as an employer, we're also responsible for our employers. And there are things that we can do there as well. And, you know, more importantly, to continue to stand firm in our support for the Welcoming City Ordinance, for protecting people who are most vulnerable. And I want to also stress that while we are talking about immigrants and refugees, we know that what is coming will also potentially put at risk other marginalized communities like the LGBTQ community, women in certain circumstances. And we have to be ready as a city to stand up for upholding their rights and making sure that people are safe as you know, members of their families, their communities, and as Chicagoans.
And Deputy Mayor, where can folks find the information that you were sharing?
We have a website, but I think the best way is to follow us on social media, Chicago's Office for Immigrant, Migrant, and Refugee Rights on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn.
Mark and Shanat, what else do you want to see Mayor Johnson and his administration do? I'll start with you, Mark.
Well, one, I think thankfully we have not had to rely as much on the Welcoming City Ordinance over the last 4 years, mm-hmm. but I think reminding Chicago Police Department as to what the limits are of their participation in immigration enforcement and enforcing it to the fullest extent possible. And then I think the other piece that we would hope to see the city stand up is when the fight over conditioning federal funding, as happened under Rahm Emanuel, that they are prepared to file suit and fight back to stand by the Welcoming City Ordinance.
Janet?
Addressing concerns we've also raised around databases and the ways that federal government and agencies are able to access that are populated by the city of Chicago, one of them being the gang database. I mean, 2017, very visibly we saw a person find out that they were in two opposing gang databases when they were not a gang member. So definitely addressing ways that the Welcome City Ordinance or the Trust Act is not enough.
Sticking with you here, Shanat, is there anything that your advocacy group and other groups can do right now to prepare? Like, you know, will your organization work in collab with lawyers or just other groups or the city even?
Yes, I think that's what we will continue to do and have always been doing is, one, making sure that we understand and practice our rights as individuals. Two, that we are able to monitor and know and understand these institutions like ICE, DHS, CBP, and be able to point the patterns of harm so that we can then litigate or find other ways to push back on that and continue to organize with other groups across Chicago and seeing ways that we can support each other in moments like these.
Homan has said that he's trying to, not trying to separate families, but that, quote, when they find that bad guy and when they find him, he's probably going to be with others. Others that are not a priority because they're not a criminal. But guess what? They're going to be arrested too. Those were his words. What do you make of that, Mark?
Well, as Shanat pointed out, we filed a lawsuit in 2018 precisely on this issue of picking up collateral arrests. And it is part of an ongoing settlement that will be in effect on January 21, that they have very limited warrantless arrest authority here in Chicago in that particular context. And it seems as if he...
Seems like a lot is happening that they either don't know about or they're ignoring.
You'll have to have him on your show.
How could that approach impact mixed status families, Shanat?
I think just as the word criminal is used to create a narrative of disposability.
Yeah, what if you're born in the U.S. but your parents are undocumented or your partner is undocumented?
Yeah, I think one of the things that we will see immediately is the ways in which we are all impacted by each other's circumstances and well-being. So I can definitely see just a raid already having ripple effects across the school systems, across community spaces, church. I mean, this is what we see day to day when an individual is taken from their home. Mm-hmm. It's a whole community that's impacted as well.
Yeah, there's definitely a ripple effect. Now, over the weekend, in an interview on Meet the Press, President-elect Trump re-upped his promise to end birthright citizenship, meaning people who are born here in the U.S. to undocumented parents, they would lose their citizenship. However, birthright citizenship is enshrined in the 14th Amendment, as some of us know. I mean, is this something that Trump could do, Mark?
The short answer is no.
Okay.
But the long answer is they're going to try. And with any fight like that, it's going to be long, and we don't know what those outcomes are. And so I think it's something where with all of these threats, we have to take them very, that they're real, even if mm-hmm. we disagree with the possibility of it happening.
Like, believe what he's saying.
Exactly.
Because he's going
and
to try.
So, you know, there are efforts afoot to be prepared for when he drops an executive order suggesting that birthright citizenship doesn't mean what it says.
Yeah.
Even though, as you point out, it's enshrined in the 14th Amendment and actually predates the founding of the U.S. It has been a staple of this country and the country we came from initially, England,
right.
That it would be undoing centuries of precedent.
Now, Trump also says that he wants to work with Democrats to protect DACA recipients. Here's Illinois Senator Dick Durbin reacting to that.
Over the weekend, President-elect Trump, I watched his interview on Meet the Press. He said some positive things from my point of view. And he really challenged us on the Democratic side to work with him when it came to the Dreamers. I accept the challenge. Name the time and place, Mr. President. I'll be there.
Your thoughts, Shanat?
It cannot come with negotiations for the safety and well-being of the rest of our community. So that is the biggest, I think, fight that we have, is that ensuring that any positive doesn't come at the cost of anyone in our community.
So Homan has said that he would prosecute Mayor Johnson if he doesn't cooperate with him. On what grounds could he do that?
Again, the threat is...
I'm starting to see a theme here.
The threat is real. That is not legally credible, because as he describes in the clip you played, that he would try and prosecute him for harboring, I think the word he uses, aliens, I would say non-citizens. First, he is the border czar, which is not an actual position, and it is not a prosecutorial position. Only a prosecutor can bring that within our system at the federal level. And second of all, it fundamentally misunderstands the entire structure of our government between the 50 states and the federal government. As I said earlier, the federal government cannot force state and local law enforcement or the city to be enforcing federal immigration law. And all that the Welcoming City Ordinance does is it is a decision by the city.
Yeah.
To say we are not going to participate in something that is not our legal responsibility nor something that we are compelled to do. Nothing more.
So, Deputy Mayor, leave us with this. How would the city respond if Homan does, in fact, go after Mayor Johnson?
Well, we're looking at all our options for protecting any and all citizens of Chicago. That would include Mayor Johnson. I really can't speak to the specifics of that, but I just know that we are prepared to uphold our ordinance, to stand firmly in our values as an administration that supports our communities. And, you know, we're looking at that through the lens of CPD, the public schools, our libraries, just all of our city services. And I want to echo something that was said earlier, is that this, even the threat that we, these threats that we're hearing, will cause a ripple effect. We don't want people to stop sending their kids to school or to stop going to work or not call 911 when they have an emergency. Mm-hmm. We all have to be aware of that as a community, just as an everyday resident, citizen of Chicago, as well as, those of us who work in city government for, and we take very seriously that people are in our care and we will do our best, to protect them.
We'll have to leave it there. We've been discussing the incoming Trump administration's promises to begin mass deportations right here in Chicago. Our guests, Shanat Sobrevia from Organized Communities Against Deportations, Mark Fleming from the National Immigrant Justice Center, and Chicago's Deputy Mayor of Immigrant, Migrant, and Refugee Rights, Beatrice Ponce de Leon. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Micah Yason and Linnea Dominic. It was edited by Dan Tucker and mixed by Ari Mejia. To make sure you never miss a conversation that takes you inside Chicago culture and breaking news, subscribe to the podcast or check us out at WBEZ.org. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for listening. We'll talk later today.
My name is Liz, and as a teacher, I think that WBEZ provides endless sources that I can bring back to my students where they can also engage in a deeper understanding. I teach government, I teach U.S. history, and I have used sources from WBEZ in order to help enrich the understanding of my students.